Well, there was a time when every kid hauled their toys around in a bright red radio flyer wagon. That toy, which started production in 1923, was the must-have Christmas present. The passing decades have given us plenty of It toys, from the Slinky to the Barbie, the Rubik's Cube, and Beanie Babies. My personal favorite, the G.I. Joe Space Capsule back in 1967 or somewhere around then. Here to talk about some of history's most beloved toys is Laura Taylor. She's an educator at the National Museum of Toys and Miniatures just off the UMKC campus. And Laura, so good to have you. Welcome.
Thank you.
You were saying that in the 19th century, the toys kids played with weren't these character-driven toys like we have today. What did you mean by that?
Well, we really don't see character-driven toys until the 20th century. In the 19th century, if you think about it, there's no mass advertising as we know it today. You're seeing toys in catalogs. You're actually going into the store to buy them. And the toys are really being advertised for the parents, not for the children. They're not being advertised directly to the children.
So the types of toys that were popular in those days were things like what then?
Balls, dolls.
Standard stuff,
yeah. Yes. A lot of it came from Germany, which was the cradle of toy making at that time. Yeah. So yeah. It wasn't, you weren't, even if you were ordering it from a catalog, you weren't seeing like a full color picture of it.
Yeah. So then advertising comes along and television comes along. I'm wondering what the impact of all that was. How did all that change the game here?
Well, we really start to see national advertising campaigns, in print start in the early part of the 20th century. And then when radio comes along, that really changes the game because we suddenly have stories. We have all sorts of different characters that are being played out. And then, of course, when television comes along, That's what gives birth to what we know today.
So then the old-fashioned toys like the red flyer wagon and balls and those things aren't cool anymore, right?
Well, when you're going to want to have what everybody else has, and that's one of the things that television does. It sort of standardizes play. People that live on one end of the country are going to want the same things that people on the other side of the country want.
That's interesting. Well, what about Barbie and G.I. Joe? Because obviously those things were huge, Laura. Tell us about them.
Well, Barbie was such a game changer. She came along at the American Toy Fair in 1959. She was based on a German doll named Bild Lilly, who was kind of a shocking character in Germany. She was a bit of a man-eater. And Ruth Handler, who was one of the founders of Mattel, encountered her on a trip to Germany. And she was looking for a doll that had grown-up proportions that would allow girls to imagine what it would be like to be an adult. Mm-hmm. And so she co-opted many of the features of Bild Lilly into Barbie, presented it at the toy fair, and everybody said, there's no way a mom is going to let her little girl play with such a voluptuous adult looking toy. So it wasn't a popular toy at the toy fair. And so what she did was she advertised it directly to children on television. And that's how Barbie became a popular toy.
And so was the Barbie of 1959, did it resemble in many ways the Barbie of 2015?
Well, actually, I think the Barbie of 2015 is a little bit more, if we can believe this, realistic. She has a thicker waist. She's a little bit less. Her proportions are marginally more realistic than the Barbie of 59.
There's been a change.
Yes.
So even right out of the gate, Barbie was something then.
She was va-va-voom right out of the gate.
Okay,
yes.
Better you saying that than me saying that. That's just fine. Well, let's run through some of the It toys as we run back through the decades, Laura. Back in 1903, The teddy bear,
that was a big one. Teddy Roosevelt had been on a shooting trip in November of 1902, and someone had tethered a bear. He hadn't been successful, so someone found a bear and tethered it to a tree for him to shoot, and he absolutely refused to do it. So a cartoonist named Clifford Berryman created a cartoon of him refusing to shoot this bear. An immigrant in New York who owned a candy store saw this and was inspired by it and had his wife sew up the first teddy bear and put it in the window, and the rest was history. The couple started the Ideal Toy Company, which was one of the most successful American toy companies in history.
Was that the first sort of doll that came around then, the teddy bear?
No, there had been soft toys before. The Steiff Company in Germany about the same time produced a bear. They had no way to know that somebody in the United States was producing a teddy bear, but sort of happened at the same time. But there were stuffed toys, but bears before this were circus bears or scary wild bears in the toy world. They weren't cuddly and anthropomorphic. They didn't have human qualities.
How do you know all this stuff?
I spend so much time with it. And
how do you know these things?
It's so delightful. Yeah, I mean, it's just fun to know. Yeah.
How about the Erector set from 1913?
The Erector set. You know, today we kind of talk about how everybody wants the technological toys. And this is really the beginning of that, the Erector set. It was structural steel. You could build bridges. You could build machines. And it was the big toy of that time, the big technological advancement of the day.
And very popular very quickly?
Very, very quickly, yes.
That's really interesting. Yes. 1922, the Buy Low Baby Doll. What's the Buy Low Baby Doll?
Buy Low Baby Doll was a big one. We don't see many commercial baby dolls on the market before the Buy Low Baby. And the reason is that girls had a lot of siblings, so they didn't need to learn the mothering skills through baby dolls. Ooh. And the baby dolls that were out there were very idealized. They sort of had this all-knowing expression on their faces. And so Grace Story Putnam, a sculptor, based the Buy Low Baby on a three-day-old infant that she saw in the Salvation Army nursery school. And she, this was at a time when the birth rate had dropped and people started to be concerned that girls weren't going to learn mothering skills.
Wow.
And so she created this realistic baby. Well, that's what parents wanted. They wanted realistic baby dolls to teach their girls about mothering skills.
Was this a plastic doll then?
It was actually bisque originally. So it was a breakable doll.
Oh.
Yes. But this is the sort of the grandparent of our modern baby dolls today.
And I gather you guys have all these at the museum then,
we
right?
We do, yes.
I
you
figured
can come
as
and
much.
See them.
Yeah. The Buck Rogers rocket pistol from 1934.
That was huge. produced by the Daisy Company.
Of course it was.
Yeah, we all know Daisy because of the Red Ryder BB gun.
Yes.
But Daisy produced the Buck Rogers rocket pistol. And Macy's optioned it to sell it exclusively for a week. And once that week was over, then other department stores got it, and this created a price war. It was originally 49 cents. They started discounting it. When Macy's offered it, they had 2,000 people lined up to get first one. So it was a craze.
And Buck Rogers on the radio back then, so that was,
yes.
was prior to TV. So this is a huge, huge deal.
This is
deal.
One of the first character-driven toys. And we have a lovely one. And when I interviewed the original owner, Dumont Reed, he just lit up with the memory of this, you know, because this is the Christmas of, you know, 1930. It was a long time ago, but just the memory of the snap that it made when he played with it was very nostalgic.
I've got to ask you about the next one, the Slinky from 1945. We all had Slinkies, and I wasn't even around in 1945. Yeah,
the Slinky was actually part of a naval engineer was trying to stabilize equipment in ships, and so he accidentally knocked over one of his springs, and it very gracefully stepped down from a set of books to the desk, to the floor, and he realized that that would be a great toy for kids. His wife was a little bit dubious, but she noticed how the neighbor kids loved it, and so she was the one that actually came up with the word Slinky, which is sinuous and graceful.
Oh, that's funny. That was such a big deal when I was a kid, back in the 50s.
And it was an inexpensive toy. It cost a dollar, and that was a big thing for the wife of the inventor, was that it would remain inexpensive, so kids of all economic means could afford it.
Well, Laura Taylor, great history lesson on some of these It toys. from decades past. She's an educator at the National Museum of Toys and Miniatures, which house so many of these different toys. Thanks for sharing your expertise with us. I sure appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.